When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Fighting for my life. I put myself in a state. That's where I'm going to work out. Lock it up. I'm about to get an intense workout in. I really feel like I'm about to do that. I get my head in place.
Mother chip control in readiness. Sonic assassins cleared for space flight. Countdown starting now. 30.
Countdown started. All units prepare for activation.
25.
Production androids activated. Now.
The tape is rolling. The red orb is glowing.
20.
Audience receptor units activated. Now.
15.
Music distribution equipment activated. Now.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4.
All units
3,
activated.
2.
Countdown
1.
Terminating.
Countdown complete.
All units functioning. Movement commencing. We have liftoff.
I get Corona, I get Corona. At the end of the day, I'm not going to let it stop me from partying. You know, I've been waiting. We've been waiting for Miami spring break for a while. About 2 months we've had this shit playing. 2-3 months. We're just not even having a good time. Whatever happens, happens.
Like, it's really messing up with my spring break.
But if you're Peyton Manning, you have enough money. The first...
Frankie, do 20-year-old Frankie. Please.
He's married, he's got a kid. And he's working in a factory. He's working from 7 to 5. Trying to survive. Well, let's hear it for Frankie. Frankie, Frankie.
Stop laughing, it's not fun.
Or the masks. How do you go from using 20,000 masks to 300,000 masks? Can't be done. Go investigate that. You go investigate that. You have your military, your FEMA investigate that. That's your job. You're in charge of this. If this is a war, they're stealing your supplies, what do you do? Tell the media to go investigate it? What, get back in 6 weeks, 2 months, as more people die on a daily basis? That's what's wrong here. There's a disconnect. We're watching one thing happen in our city on the 11 o'clock news every night. We're watching people die, and now we know people who died. And we're not seeing one or two people die now in our neighborhood. We're seeing them die by the tens and twenties by the day. They're bringing people out of the hospital in Queens in body bags, 5 minutes from where he grew up. We here know this isn't right. You get the guys in the metropolitan area and ask the cops in New York if it's right now. Ask the firemen in New York who are answering those police calls right, answering those ambulance calls if it's right now. Ask the nurses and the doctors in that hospital if it's right now. They know it's not. They don't have the supplies they need. So don't give me the MyPillow guy doing a song and dance up here on a Monday afternoon when people are dying in Queens. Get the stuff made, get the stuff where it needs to go, and get the boots on the ground. Treat this like the crisis it is. And how can you have a scoreboard that says 2,000 people have died and tell us it's okay if another 198,000 die? That's a good job. How is that a good job in our country? It's a good job if nobody else dies. Not if another 198,000 people die. So now 200,000 people are disposable?
Buddy McConaughey here. Just want to say, in these crazy times that we're in, with coronavirus, let's take care of ourselves and each other. Let's not go to the lowest common denominator and get paranoid. Let's do our due diligence, take the precautions we need to take care of ourselves and those of us around us. Right now, more than ever before, we're all more dependent on each other than we ever have been. But we have an enemy in coronavirus that is faceless, that is raceless, sexless, non-denominational, and bipartisan. And it's an enemy that we all agree we want to be. We want to be, we're going to be. All right? So in this time when people are going to move on, the economy is going to be in shambles. Who knows how long?
Yeah. Hey, welcome to the best show. This is Tom. I'm here on a Tuesday, right? It's a Tuesday. It's always a Tuesday, right? We do it on Tuesday and we do it on Tuesday. That's how we do it. We've been doing it that way since beginning of time, it seems like, at this point. Like we've been doing it, but that's a good thing. We've been here. We're the originals, baby. We've been doing this for the longest time. Well, let me say welcome to the best show, first of all. Welcome to the best show. My name's Tom Sharpling. I am the host of the show. It's very exciting to have you here doing the show late March. Quarantined here. I'm in Los Angeles. Doing what I can. Hiding out. Trying not to get sick. Hoping not to get sick. Bleak. Scary. Gotta be positive. I'm positive, but it is scary. But I am positive. But it's scary. But I am positive. But it's scary. Got a good show for you. We've been doing the show bit by bit by bit by bit. Piecing it together. Today's show, we're gonna have Nick Thorburn from Islands and the Unicorns. I drove over to his house, threw the cord out, had the conversation with him, kept the distance, stayed safe, rolled it up, sanitized. He played some songs. He was very nice, very talented, great new songs. Love it. Love him. Let's all, what I'm doing is I drive to people now. I drive over. Got a Zoom recorder. Throw a 25-foot sanitized mic cable out, wearing gloves. They plug a microphone in. I talk. They talk. It's recorded. Spool it back up. Sanitized. Once again, hands protected. Drive away. Put the recording into an episode of The Best Show, and there it is. We build it, and that's how we get The Best Show. So that's what we did with Mark Maron and Lynn Shelton. We talked to them, and we talked to Jake Fogelnest, and now we're talking to Nick Thorburn, our first musical guest. And there will be more to come, so stay tuned for that. And please listen to The Best Show. And please, everybody, stay safe, stay healthy. It's scary. I know how scary it is, because I'm one of the people that's scared. So that's all we can do. And enjoy this episode of The Best Show, because I'm going to keep doing what I can do. Here's the things I can do. One, try to stay healthy, not get sick. And if I get sick, I just hope. Ain't one of these people that gets crushed by it. That's all I can hope. I'm terrifying. But I can do that, and I can keep writing and doing my stuff to take care of myself, and I can keep doing The Best Show and do something fun for everybody, help you all, everybody, get through their days. So yeah, so we'll do that. And we got some good stuff coming up. A couple cool people I recorded already, and more to come, and other stuff, and talking to the guys back in New Jersey again, and we're gonna do it all here. If I'm scared, I'm scared. I don't know, but I can't quit. We can't quit. Got to keep going. So let's keep going.
Hello, Best Show.
Hello, Tom. I don't know if you remember me. My name is Royden Ziegler, and I'm calling from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. I know exactly who you are. This is Philly Boy Roy. I know who you are, Roy. I don't know why you would think I wouldn't know who you were. I mean, honestly, I can't even remember the last time we spoke. But
you know, let me think. I honestly can't remember neither. I'm thinking it was maybe, I don't know, 2006?
2006? No, it was much more recent than 2006.
Okay, you know, you're probably right. You know, I got so much going on inside and outside of my head. It's like a Terry Gilliam flick up in this piece. It's kind of like Lou Reed told me that night I was listening to that live album where he's on coke. My decade beats your fortnight.
I know what you're talking about. I think you got it a little wrong. It's my week beats your year is what Lou said.
Wait, that don't make no sense at all.
That my week beats your year?
Yeah. No, it should be my decade beats your fortnight. Fortnight is 2 months. That's a long time.
Well, no, I mean, well, fortnight is two weeks, I think.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. But
yours makes total sense now.
Oh, no, but it's not. 2 months or 2 weeks doesn't make a thing versus a decade, Roy. It's basically he's saying, I do more in a week than you do in a year.
Oh, I thought he was saying I do less in that time than you do in that time. So I got it reversed. Is that right?
You might have it reversed. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me write it down so I don't blow it next time.
Yeah. No, try to keep track of that. What was that from Take No Prisoners?
I think so. Yeah. It's when he's a little off that night, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's a very interesting choice to be like, and this is the one, let's put that out as a 2-LP set.
Let's pick the night where the guy tightened the microphone stand so much, so hard that I actually comment on it.
Yeah, where I'm going to go off on a, where I'm going to not be sure if I'm a musician or a stand-up comic. Or maybe I'm both. I don't know yet, but we're going to certainly find out when you buy you're going to find out when you buy this record.
You're going to find out that I ran it all up the flagpole. And some people did salute.
They did. I'm sure they did salute. Yeah. That people liked. Yeah. Well, now that you got that straight, that will maybe make things a little easier for you.
Yeah. Yeah. My life just got 100% easier. Thanks so much.
Well, you know what? Yeah, you're right. Okay.
I do.
Yeah. So Roy, what have you been up to?
Do you really want to know?
Do I really want to know? Yeah, I do really want to know.
Okay. Well, strap yourself in because shit is about to get R.
Okay. You know, that's a weird, first of all, it's weird you're cursing. You know, I'm trying to keep the, try to keep the show relatively, but I don't know why you would curse and then not say just the letter R. It's very odd.
Oh, well, look, I don't know what's acceptable no more. You know, everything's canceled. I might be canceled. I don't know. It's like used to be able to say stuff like my Johnson hurts. You can't say that no more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know it's really tough out there, huh?
It's real tough for me. Yeah. And guys like me.
Yeah, that you just can't say literally any thought that crosses your mind that you can't say it without potential consequence.
The ultimate unfairness, if you ask me.
Sure, it is the ultimate unfairness. I hear you.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. So you want to know what's going on in Zieglerland, right?
I do. Yeah, I do, Roy.
Okay. Well, let's go back to last December, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know the band The Misfits?
Yeah, of course. The legendary punk band.
Yeah, from New Jersey. Anywho, just before Christmas, they're all set to play the Wells Fargo Center in Philly, all right? Super bill. Agnostic Front and the Dropkick Murphys were also on the bill. They play the best melange of punk and ska, if you ask me.
Dropkick Murphys?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they also just kind of run it through a pretty fun,
Super Irish!
Yeah, like a pseudo Celtic feel.
Pseudo what?
Well, you know, it's like I don't know, wasn't it that one song? That one. That's it seems like they wrote it seems like they wrote it to be a Sam Adams commercial.
Could be, you know, we all need new revenue streams now, Tom.
Well, no, the business has changed, and I understand bands needing a variable revenue streams. What is, that's a lot of like very business school kind of lingo for you.
Oh yeah, I read Consequence of Sound just about every week.
Okay, so you're up on the latest. Then.
I know all the stuff about the streams. You know, back in my day when we talked about streaming, it was more about...
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Oh, well, you probably had to beep somebody.
Yeah, well, that I definitely did. I missed the other one. That one.
I could say it again if you want.
That's okay. No, that's what streaming, of course, that's what your idea of streaming would have been.
Yeah, still kind of is.
Yeah. So the Misfits are doing this show.
Yeah. Okay, so now, Tom, you know I like all kinds of music, right? You know, I like rock, I like hard rock, I like sleaze rock, I like power grind, porno grind. So, you know, over the years, I've become friendly with all kinds of bands from all kinds of genres who come through Philly. And mm-hmm. when I was driving a cab back in the day, what I would do is I would pull up to a venue and I'd hang out there until the band came out. And then I'd go, yo, you want a free ride somewhere? And 90% of the time they'd take me up on it. And over the decades, I became pretty friendly with all the cool bands.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Like who?
Well, like Blue Oyster Cult, Dirty Rotten Imbeciles, Pablo Cruz, Testament, Van Morrison, Effed Up, Vern Gosden, Camera Obscura, Death Angel, who else? Del Fuego's, Parliament, BTS, who else? Papa Roach.
So you've had, in your cab, you had, there's like, I think, 7 guys in BTS, and you had...
Oh, yeah.
You had them all, and Parliament then, which has at least 7 people in Parliament.
It was a suburban.
Okay. All right. So you're meeting all kinds of bands.
Oh yeah. So, all right. So now it's the day of the Misfit show back in December. And so I go over to Wells Fargo Center to just kind of hang out by backstage in my cab.
Mm-hmm. Wait. So you still drive a cab?
No, but I was in one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, I can kind of guess how you got your mitts on a cab.
I prefer you didn't.
Yeah, you'd prefer I did. Why would you prefer I didn't get into specifics about that?
Is it my fault that my friend just parked his cab in his backyard under that tarp where anyone could find it?
Mm-hmm. Oh no, it's almost calling to you under it, right?
Like, I know. It's like, yeah, it's like, granted the keys were still in his bureau, but you know, still.
Yeah, it's unfair to
it's
assume
like,
that.
It's like waving a red flag.
Yeah, you did. You had no choice in that matter.
I had no recourse, Tom.
No, there's only one option, which is to go into his house. Root around for the keys, which I guess you finally found where? On his bureau?
This idiot, he don't trust no one. He had it under a giant stack of undershorts.
Uh-huh. Okay, yeah, what an idiot.
Yeah, so I mean, thankfully I didn't wake him nor his wife.
Uh-huh. You didn't wake anybody else in the house, though, did you?
Yeah, 2 of the kids. I ran out of there so fast. Oh, my
yeah.
God.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, great. So you got the, that's how you got the cab from this idiot friend of yours.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm there backstage and I see Jerry Only and Doyle Wolfgang von Frankenstein from the Misfits. They're out in the parking lot. They're doing reps, you know, with mm-hmm. their weights. And I yell, yo, either of you jacked up Edward Scissorhands need a ride or what? Mm-hmm. And they look up and they go, Roy, get your flabby Roxborough buns over here pronto. So I go over, right? You know, we hug, we do our chest bumps. And you know, they're pumping each other, you know, with the weights, they're doing it. And they ask me to do some reps too, right?
Yeah.
But you know, these guys are, like I said, they're jacked, you know, way beyond my strength level. You know, I can back squat like, I don't know, 260, but these guys are like double that, you know, so I just start working one of them old fashioned chest expanders.
They actually had one of those?
Oh no, I carry a portable one in my pocket at all times in case I gotta impress someone.
You carry a portable version of like those elastic, like those springy chest expanders?
Yeah, you know, the kind that seemed even antiquated in the mid-70s.
Yeah, it seemed like, it seems more like it should be like a medicine ball, like it should have gone the way of like the medicine ball or the box that you get into up to your neck.
I thought you were going to say it's like medicine could have come out of it, which is also true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, yeah.
you pull it and the medicine shoots out.
Yeah, like it would be sure. I guess I didn't see it that way, but that's what makes you and I different, I guess, is you see things. We see things in different ways, you know?
That's right, and we're still gods to everyone.
Yeah, we're still gods, sure.
Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, okay, so getting back to that day. All right, so now it's like 2 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
And Vinny from Agnostic Front comes over, right? And we're like long-lost brothers because back in the day, I used to take those guys to Vito's in Yaden, my favorite Za place before they tore it down because it was built on 2 different Indian burial grounds that was built over 2 different Viking burial grounds. That happens way more than you think.
Multiple burial grounds.
Just burial ground over another one.
Yeah, a top burial ground. I didn't know that.
It's sick. So anywho, at this point, John Caffiero, he's the Misfits manager. He comes up and he goes, hey, would you mind driving Glenn back to the hotel so he can rest before showtime? And I go, yeah, no problem. Okay.
So Glenn Danzig.
The singer for the Misfits. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I take Glenn back and he goes, don't worry, Roy, I'll get a ride back to the venue. So mm-hmm. I go back to the arena, you know, and we're all busting balls and stuff. And, you know, we're eating from this 130-foot hoagie I bought at Wawa Elite. And we're spraying each other with Yingling Extreme. It's got extra cream in it.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. What is Wawa Elite?
Oh, it's, you know, it's kind of like, you know, they have Sam Club's Platinum.
Okay.
Maybe you don't know about Sam's Club Platinum. Uh-oh.
I know, yeah. Maybe, yeah.
It's where the higher-ups go to shop. And in turn, Wawa Elite is where the high-profile Phillyites come to get their hoagies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Kurt Vile, he's always there when I'm there.
At a Wawa Elite.
Yeah.
And what goes on at a Wawa Elite?
It's pretty much like a regular Wawa, but you know, instead of actual oregano, it's oregano with gold flakes in it.
Okay.
For the hoagies, yeah. But everything else is pretty much the same, but it's just behind like a better quality door.
Sure. Okay, so it's a door and there's gold worked into the pepper flakes.
Yes, also, and the waitstaff is bottomless.
Okay, that's
took
different.
You somewhere you didn't think where you was going, right?
No, that's a different turn for a Wawa.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay, yes. Well, I guess. So you got this giant sub. How big was it again?
130 foot.
130 foot hoagie.
Yeah, I had to order it 4 months in advance.
Uh huh. And did it take them that long to make it?
It does. It takes a real long time because there's only one 130-foot long oven in the world, uh-huh. So they can toast that bun.
So it's not cut at all.
Oh, no.
But doesn't that mean that, like, 4 months in the making that, like, the ingredients would not be particularly fresh?
Just the mayonnaise.
Oh, okay. So what you guys are all, you and everyone else is horsing around.
Yeah, we're all playing grab ass and stuff, but you know, it's getting closer to showtime for the Misfits.
Yeah.
And listen to me. Listen to me. You gotta listen.
Roy, I'm listening. I didn't stop. The problem is I'm listening. That's why I'm
laughing. Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I just want to make sure you're still strapped in.
Yeah, I still am. Okay.
Great. Okay. All right. So now it's getting closer to showtime. All right. And there ain't no sign of Glenn Danzig. And everyone's getting real worried. You know, where could he be? No one can get in touch with him neither. So now it's looking like the show ain't even going to happen. Okay. So I go, look, I know you ain't got no singer. But if anyone can get up there on that stage in Philly and sing those songs, it's Royden Ziegler. And Jerry and Doyle look at each other and they go, no way. But then Vinny Stigma from Agnostic Front, he comes up and goes, listen, you goombas, Roy's the real deal. He's like Jesus or some other kind of god to these cretins.
Wait, so did Vinny Stigma really say that?
More or less.
Okay.
Yeah, more or less. Okay,
more or less. Maybe a little less than more.
Look, I'm sure we got very differing definitions of more and less. And
yeah,
possibly
yeah.
even or.
Sure. I want to know where this is going. So I'm not going to, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, Jerry and Doyle huddle for a second, okay? And then they come back and they go, Roy, do you actually know any of our songs? And I go, of course I do. What's first song on the set list? Jerry goes, Death Comes Ripping. I go, know it.
So you just happen to know all the words to Death Comes Ripping.
Are you nuts? That's like my generation's Johnny B. Good. They practically taught it in school to kids where I grew up.
They taught the lyric. Okay. All right. Well, that's
pretty,
a different.
Pretty much. Uh-huh. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Sure.
More or less. I go, okay, what's next? I turned into a Martian, know it. 20 eyes, know it. You know, and so forth.
Yeah. Well, I gotta just say, this is shocking that you're about to go on stage in front of what, like 15, 16,000 people?
At least.
That are there expecting to see the Misfits with Glenn Danzig. It's Glenn Danzig and the Misfits that they're there
much.
For.
Yeah. I mean, he's the number one star, right?
Sure. And these guys, you know, the rest of the band wears kind of their spooky makeup, and they all have their tight black stage clothes on. And what were you wearing?
Well, you know, I took the slightest turn from that macabre image.
Okay.
Yeah, I wore an original championship game worm Dr. J uniform. Why?
Well, that's a strange choice in the scheme of things. But where on earth did you get an original Dr. J basketball uniform?
Oh, it was the craziest thing. They had one just hanging up backstage. It was just sitting there with these other things. Like, I don't know, there are a couple basketballs and some tennis rackets, some hockey sticks with names written on them.
Sure, with names. Yeah, there were. And let me just guess. Were all these things kept in a trophy case?
It's like you have to just make me feel bad about literally every tiny aspect of my life. I just will never get it.
Well, I'm just trying to ask you what's going on here.
It's very accusatory.
Well, you're telling me, it's 10 minutes ago, you just told me you broke into a guy's house and stole his cab.
He's my friend!
Okay, I'm not accusing you of anything. I'm just trying to get the details on it. Okay? I'm not trying to make you feel bad about it, Roy.
All right, I forgive you. It's okay.
Well, I wasn't asking. Okay, never. Okay.
Well, you got it anyway.
Okay, sure.
All right. So, anyhow, it's showtime, okay? We're walking to the stage. Crowd's roaring, lights go down, people are going nuts. Dave Lombardo counts off the song and we are in.
I'm just having a very hard time processing this. I can't, like, what on earth was the reaction like to this? Because there couldn't have been one person in that entire arena that was expecting to see anybody but Glenn Danzig walk out there as the lead singer of the Misfits. And then here comes a guy that they don't, you know, a guy in a basketball uniform walks out.
Well, I don't know if you ever saw the Buddy Holly story, but at first it was like when Buddy Holly and the Crickets go on stage at the Apollo Theater.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot like that. And also like that story you hear about the first time Charlie Pride sang in front of a sea of dumb, toothless rednecks. Mm-hmm. Basically, it was stone silence. I'll tell you, Tom, you could have heard a pen drip.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But you know,
could have heard a pen drip. Go ahead.
Yeah. That's in reference to back when guys used to use quills back in the 50s and you would dip the thing into it. The quill's the feather, basically.
No, I get it completely. Don't worry. I know the expression, you could have heard a pen drip.
Okay.
What, do you think I was going to question that?
Look, I don't know what your goals are. I don't know. You're always kind of like playing me for a fool a little bit.
Oh yeah, Yeah, okay. Okay, go ahead.
All right, let's get back on track. So everyone's just staring at me, but once I start singing, everyone's like, "Whoa, this guy's got it." Let's see where he takes this, okay? So I could see him slowly accept me. And by the first, "Whoa, death comes ripping," everyone was like, "Glenn who?"
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, I got to say, that seems slightly unbelievable.
Hey, it's called showmanship, you flagrant buffoon. Jagger, Trump, Roger Daltrey, Rodney Anonymous, we all got it.
Uh-huh. Roger Daltrey? Who's that?
Crack a copy of It's Hard Much? Roger Daltrey is the singer for The Who.
Roger Daltrey.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
What do you think it is?
Well, I thought it was Daltrey, but I'm wrong, and I apologize.
No, Daltrey, he was on American Idol.
That's, okay, yeah, you're right. Daltrey was on American Idol. Daltrey is the lead singer of The Who. Yeah, you're right. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Roy.
Can I get back to the story?
Yeah, go ahead, by all means, yeah.
All right, so I'm stalking the stage, I'm doing backflips, I'm high-fiving with all the fiends, and then right as we're about to start, "Mommy, can I go out and kill tonight?" I look over and Glenn Danzig is standing there, chomping at the bitch, ready to take over. So I sing the slow part of the song, the first part. Mm-hmm. So, and then I throw him the mic when the song stops so he can run out and sing the fast part and then finish the rest of the set. It went so smooth, man. What a rush.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's amazing. That's really impressive. Did you ever find out why Glenn was so late?
Oh, we didn't get into that.
Okay. Well, now I kind of do want to get into that, the way you answered that. Let me guess. I'm just going to throw this out there. Did you have anything to do with him not being on time?
Hard pass.
No. This is not a press conference. Answer the question. I mean, did you have something to do with Glenn Danzig missing the first, like, whatever, six or seven songs of his own show?
Okay. Well, define something and to do as well as with.
Roy, just answer the question.
All right, look, is it my fault that the lock to his hotel room was changed so it only locked from the outside, and then said lock was filled with this really heavy-duty glue, and also his in-room phone was disconnected, and also he don't have a cell phone because he don't want to get tracked?
Uh-huh. Okay, so basically you decided you wanted to sing for the Misfits, so you also then decided to perform several criminal acts to make that happen.
Oh, man, you make it sound way more untoward than it was. You know, it was way more toward than it sounds. Much more toward.
Mm-hmm. Much more toward. Sure.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Okay. And, yeah, I'm not even going to get into what is he was chomping at the bitch? What's that mean?
You've never heard that expression?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, no. Okay. Chomping at the bit is the expression.
What the F does that mean?
It's Roy. I don't know. Okay. I do know what. Okay. So that's, I get, you know what I want? What was his big, like, if this is how this went,
right?
Even though it went well when you threw the mic to him, and I'm assuming he finished, what was his reaction to all of this? To Glenn's reaction to all this?
Oh, he beat the F out of me right after the show was over.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And okay. I'll tell you, at one point after the show, there was a line of like 35 people. All the other bands, band crew, all the local crew, promoters, some security people, all waiting to slap me in the face.
Okay.
Yeah, it was quite a scene. They tied me to a chair, and everyone got one long slap. John Caffiero, their manager, he organized it. And I got to say, it was very well run, but also very painful.
Sure. But it was well run, though. That was
very well, very organized. People were not butting in line. Dr. J even sent his nephew Tim down to get in a slap.
Sure, sure. Well, at least it was well run.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it was also worth it because, Tom, without our memories, what are we?
Without our memories, what are we? I don't even know what to... You throw me these curveballs where suddenly you're strangely poignant, and I don't know what to make of that.
You know, I didn't actually invent that phrase. It was on a funeral card that someone sent me once as a joke.
Without our memories. So somebody sent you a funeral card as a joke.
It was like for my birthday. And I was, you know, when you're young, you make kind of macabre jokes with one another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my friend Wheels sent me that on my 23rd birthday.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Wheels sounds like a great guy.
Yeah, but that phrase always stuck with me, and it was applicable in our conversation just now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I guess it did. I guess it came back around for you, huh?
Did a total 360.
Yeah, a total 360. So yeah, well, I guess I don't know if, I guess without our memories, what are we? That's a good question.
That is a good question. You know, I think we should get serious right now.
You want to get serious, Roy?
I do, yeah. I think it's about time to address the elephant in the room.
Uh-huh. The elephant, you mean the elephant in the room.
Wait, what? That's stupid. Do you know any correct phrases?
Well, what does elephant in the broom mean?
You know, it's like back, you know, okay, here. Oh, you know, back on the Serengeti.
Uh-huh.
That's like it's a part of Africa where a lot of animals congregate. And a lot of times, you know, guys would be cleaning up the Serengeti and they'd have these brooms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when it was quitting time, they'd go, all right, quitting time. And they'd get in, they'd throw the brooms into the back of the truck and they'd go back to where they live, you know, back in the town. And then without fail, they'd start hearing like some feet going on in the back of the truck. Sure enough, a baby elephant was hiding in the broom.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had to think of a name for it because they needed to call it something.
Yeah,
and so
of course.
They would debate what to call it. And then so at that point, after they all agreed on the name, then they could address the elephant in the broom.
Gotcha. Oh, okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense then.
Thank you.
Once again, I apologize for...
I think it's the most you've apologized to me, maybe ever.
Yeah, since our last conversation in 2006.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay, well, look. Like everyone on Earth, I'm in isolation, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, it got off to a really bad start a couple of weeks ago when all of this came down.
Yeah.
I got some faulty information that it's called the coronavirus because the only cure is bathing in Corona beer.
Yeah.
So, you know, enterprising young gent that I am, I bought up all the Corona I could find in Philly, and then I jacked up the price, I don't know, like 7,000% on eBay and this new site called Amazon Grift.
Amazon Grift.
Yeah, that's exactly what you think it is.
Self-explanatory.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I found out about it and I got access to it through Wawa Elite.
Oh, sure. No, well, of course I would assume one would lead to the next.
Exactly. You know, so then people start finding out about this and I get suspended by both sites, and now the FBI's looking into my whole deal once again. I think it's like the fourth time.
With the FBI's come snooping around.
On something. Yeah. Yeah. So I ended up not selling nothing, and now I'm stuck with all this beer.
Uh-huh. So you were told that the only cure for the coronavirus was bathing in Corona beer, and I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that this faulty information maybe came from a member of your own family?
That would be a correct guess, yes.
Uh-huh. And can I guess that person's name is Roy?
That would also be a correct guess.
Mm-hmm. And can I guess that this person's name is Roy Ziegler Jr.?
Yeah, wait, Jr. who?
Yeah, Jr.
No, I told myself that information. I mean, so, it seemed to make perfect sense.
So it wasn't Roy Jr.?
Oh, no. Everyone in my fam was trying to talk me out of it, especially Roy Jr., but also my wife Rhoda, my daughter Rhoda Jr., and my other daughter little Rhoda.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So everybody's trying to talk you out of this.
All of them, yeah. So, you know, anyway, I'm in quarantine with the people I just mentioned, but, you know, I'll tell you, I ain't gonna get sick.
You're not gonna get sick?
No way. I'm half Philly fanatic, part party machine, just like Trump.
Uh-huh. So Trump is half Philly. That actually would make sense if he was half Philly fanatic. That actually would answer a lot of questions.
He's very unique, yeah. And I'll tell you, I haven't been keeping up with his press conferences at less than 4 days, but I assume he's being completely coherent, presidential, and treating others with utmost respect, right?
Yeah, no, he's really confident and really measured in his response. Focused. Focus is the big part of.
Laser sharp.
Just on point. He doesn't, first of all, it's not about him. None of this is about him. But he's focused on others. He has so much empathy. Yeah. But look, enough about, you assumed right.
Well, is he still standing like he sticks his butt out and then the front, it's like he's holding back the truth. Is he still doing that?
He stands as if the tie is like, as if that tie weighs 100 pounds.
Yes, it's as heavy as it is long.
Like he's afraid he's going to pull his head down.
Yes.
So I think that's why he kind of positions his, kind of sticks his butt out like that, is because it's almost like he's trying to just like hold that, do everything he can to hold that 100-pound tie up.
Yes. Or how about the hair? Is it Mike Score or is it Brian Setzer after he did steroids and then stopped doing steroids?
It's kind of like, I think it's more like the second one there.
Okay. So he's looking good and he's walking tall.
He's walking tall. He's strong. He's got a little, he's exuding confidence right now. Like,
that's what we need.
Is the confidence. No, I know. And I mean, I always feel like people are just like, they think he's an idiot or he's stupid and out of touch or self, whatever. I'm just like, this guy's playing chess while we're playing checkers.
The long game.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, but
yeah.
All right. So, but you know, I'm still taking the necessary precautions. You know, I started wearing t-shirts with sleeves on them. I also wear a mask when I go out amongst the other riffraff at Pathroy.
Mm-hmm. Pathroy. Yeah. Yeah. So those masks are pretty hard to come by. These days, what does the mask you've been wearing look like?
Looks like a Philadelphia Eagles helmet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool. So it's like a designer mask with an Eagles helmet on it?
No, you magnificent ape. It's an actual Eagles helmet.
An Eagle, like a Philadelphia Eagles football helmet.
Yes, yeah, yeah. But don't worry. It's a lineman's helmet, so it's got all the bars.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Ultimate protection.
I just got to say, this is next level stupid, and this is...
Wait, what?
This is the idea that a football helmet is a cure against any sort of just disease, some airborne pathogen or whatever you want to call it. I don't know if it's airborne. Whatever you want to describe it, that a football helmet...
You never saw Michael Vick getting sick.
No, that's a fair point. I never did see Michael Vick getting sick.
No.
No, you're right. Okay, I guess.
Yeah. That's like six so far.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I've never been this wrong in my entire life. Right.
And of all nights for me to start keeping score.
Yeah, no, you're keeping, yeah, exactly. Mike score, Allie score, keeping score. Like, you're the third member of the Flock of Seagulls.
Oh man, what if I was in Flock of Seagulls? I would be taking that to next level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But look.
Yeah?
I feel like I'm veering off track just too far, okay?
Okay.
Want me to get back to it?
Yeah, yeah. You tell me what's going on. I want to hear your story.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, honestly, being around my family this intensely for this long, it's been a little tough, you know.
Sure.
They're way more annoying than I realized. Yeah. I'm so even keeled, right? And it's like all these little persnickety weird things are coming out that I never noticed about them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. But you know, I'll tell you, on some level, it does make me appreciate them a little more. It's a lot like that old saying, no man is an island unless he's on a boat, at which point he's kind of like a mini island.
Yeah, that's a very meaningful, old saying, huh?
Very deep. You know, I'm just trying to pass the time, basically, like anyone else, you know.
Sure.
Watching my TV shows, making my TV shows, you know, all that stuff.
What do you mean you're making a TV show?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Tom?
Yeah?
You're talking to the star of the new Shout Network reality show, Where the Lions Are.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that sounds interesting, actually. I would be interested in watching. So... It's called Where, let me actually write this down. Where the Lions Are.
No, wait, how are you spelling lions?
Well, L-I-O-N-S and then R, A-R-E. Where the Lions Are.
No, you dipmunch, you effed up the spelling. It's Where the Lions Are. Look.
Yeah.
Where the Lion Singular. Next word, C-Z-A-R.
Zar, oh, Zar, okay.
Yeah, it's Zar. Pretty cool. It's pretty cool, regal, and creative, right?
Well, I just, the issues of the spelling is, I'm not sure about the grammar of this whole thing.
Yeah, someone else said it don't make grammatical sense, but who cares, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
I'll tell you, that name was not my first choice. I wanted to call it The Lion King, but there's apparently some film strip nobody ever seen with a similar title.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there's actually a huge movie called The Lion King. It actually was two of the biggest movies ever have both been called The Lion King, but it, maybe you just didn't cross your path or.
Yeah, I might not have seen it. Yeah, I don't know, but.
Yeah, you know, it's, I mean, it actually sounds like your show might be a little like this thing that's on Netflix now that everybody has been watching and everybody loves, called Tiger King.
How dare you? That show blows. Are you kidding me?
Tiger King?
Yeah, those losers took the easy way. None of them actually lived with the adult animals in their homes ever.
Uh-huh. Wait, you actually let adult lions into your, you live in like a row house in like Roxborough, right?
Yeah.
And you have lions.
Absolutely. It's totally cool. You know, here's what I do. I walk from room to room frolicking with the lions, you know, feeding them raw steak from my handmade meat belt.
How on earth are you controlling these lions?
Oh, it's totally scientific. I got this cool whistle that only the lions can hear, and it totally keeps them in line when I blow it.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, I got that, and I also got a unicorn dog who acts as a shepherd. It's weird. He ain't afraid of the lions at all.
Okay, what is a unicorn dog?
It's exactly what it sounds like. It's a magical dog with a horn in the middle of its head, you know, like the proverbial unicorn. And they're incredibly rare, Tom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are. Look, Roy, I just hope you're being safe with all this.
Oh, man, don't worry about me. And I'll tell you one thing. Safety is way overrated.
Safety is way overrated.
Yeah, I've had it tattooed on my stomach for about 30 years.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah.
Well, anyway, the show on its own is great, but Matthew Tompkins at the Shout Network, he said it needed a few more laughs. So, you know, I said, okay, I'll entertain that. I actually just got done a pitch meeting with my writers.
Wait, so you have writers on a reality show?
Oh yeah. I got a fully staffed writers room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like who?
Oh man. So many great ones. I got Jake Fogelnoost, Julie Klausner, John Mulaney, who else? Jen Kirkman, Todd Barry, Mary Houlihan, A.P. Mike, Patton Oswalt, Claire O'Kane, John Glazer. All these cool people you ain't never heard of.
Yeah, I ain't never heard of none of those people. Yeah. I guess.
Wait, what, you been on their podcast or something?
No, they've been on the best show. Every one of those people have been on the best show multiple times. But
wow, no one mentioned it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what do you, you know? Hey, I can't control that. So when you do this writer's room, what are you doing? You getting everybody together on like Zoom and coming up with jokes, kicking stuff around?
What's Zoom?
Zoom is the platform that everybody's been doing group conversations on and
why would they do that if they can just be right in the room with you? That's what we do. Everyone's here with me.
So everybody is physically next to each other.
Oh yeah. Don't worry. If someone coughs, they do it into their sleeve.
Yeah, this is worse than, okay, all right. This sounds very dangerous, Roy.
Oh, I don't know. I think you're being alarmist.
You think I'm being alarmist
Sit. Oh,
wait, what's going on? Wait.
One of the lions is acting up. You sit. Sit, please. Please sit. Please. Come on, Reggie, please sit.
I love how you keep saying please to the lion.
Well, you know, sometimes if they don't respond to, you know, anger, they will respond to cordiality.
Sure. Good old fashioned manners.
Absolutely. Now please sit, please.
Is he sitting?
All right. He went in the other room. Yeah. Ow! Oh no!
Wait, what just happened?
Oh no! Oh my god! Tom the unicorn dog gored me in both haunches. Oh, no. Leaking haunch juice.
Well, why did the unicorn dog gore you?
Truthfully?
Yeah.
It's my neighbor Ted's dog Punisher.
Yeah.
With a shellacked waffle cone stuck to his head. I stuck it there.
Yeah, of course you did.
What else could I do?
I don't know. So you put a waffle cone on his head.
Yeah. And, you know, honestly, it's been driving him nuts since I put it on there last week. And now I guess he's taking his regular dog revenge on me.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, here he comes back.
That does not sound like a dog. That sounds like a lion.
Well, you know, I had his voice box altered to make him sound like a lion, and perhaps he's a little miffed about that as well. I mean, like everyone's upset about something.
Yeah, it is. I guess. Yeah. Oh,
man.
Well, I'm sorry.
Oh, thank you so much for saying that.
It's the seventh time I said I'm sorry.
Oh, I might not make it. Oh, you know, but if I don't make it, I want the last thing anyone hears from me to be something that I know everybody can relate to at this point in time.
Yeah.
On March 30th, 2020.
Yeah.
It's something everyone can relate to, especially the verses.
Yeah, what's that?
Loose talk in the classroom, to hurt they try and try. Strong words in the staff room, the accusations fly. It's no use, he sees her, he starts to shake and cough. Just like the old man in that book by Nabokov. Come on. Don't stand so. Don't stand so close to
Roy?
Me.
Oh, no. Roy? Hello? Man, that is, I think that might have been it for Roy. Man, it's look, the first thing that crosses my mind is that Roy, Philly Boy Roy's probably, I guess, dead now. He sounded very bad. But I really never noticed how creepy those lyrics were. I never really focused in on that. So that's interesting also. So there's a couple things to pay attention to with that. Well, I hope Roy's okay. And I also hope people don't, at least be mindful of that song. If you're going to try to sing it as like a coronavirus thing, just realize the verses are a little creepy. Yeah. Well, I hope you're okay, Roy.
Nick Thorburn on The Best Show. All right. Yeah. So. I am here, just pulled up to the residence of Nick Thorburn, and he is going to get a chair. Here it comes. He's got a chair. The cord is out the window. He has gloves. I have gloves. I have a mask. I have Purell. The cord is outside. Oh, I don't like that cough. Hey, how are you?
Give me a hug.
Oh, no. No hugs.
Come on.
No, there can't be hugs. Let's check the levels. Oh, geez.
All right.
How are you?
Hi.
Hey.
How am I?
Good. Say something. Can you say something?
Check, check.
There we go.
Comedians in cars doing podcasts.
Comedians in cars catching corona. COVID-19. I'm going to lower my mask. I'm going to raise my mask.
I feel like they knew there was going to be a COVID 20. That's why they titled it after last year.
Yeah. 20 and 20. COVID 20. I went to a place to buy more gloves. I found a place that's selling gloves, and I don't think these are exactly the gloves that are keeping people safe in emergency rooms. I think these are more the gloves that you use when you are making a sandwich.
You look like a sandwich artist. Yeah, I was going to say.
Exactly. But they're still in a box, and they're clean and
that's nice.
Safe, and I figure it's better than nothing.
How quickly do you go through gloves?
Nah, not too infrequently. If I go out, I put a pair on, put the old mask on, put a pair on.
Yeah.
And then
that's
the guy,
our life now.
It is. It's my life now. And the guy said, and this is a CBD store that has managed to, managed to kind of reinvent themselves on the fly to being just like, we will sell anything here that people need. And a month ago, apparently they needed a cream to kind of calm themselves down a little bit. Now they're selling gloves and CBD infused, Purell, which.
That's not true, is it?
I swear it's true.
Oh my God.
I can only imagine what's in that. How little CBD is in that Purell I bought from them.
Yeah,
but then the guy just goes, did you hear there's a new virus? I'm just like, what are you talking about? And it's just like, he's like, yeah, oh yeah, new virus. Is there a new virus?
Did he elaborate, or was it just?
No, I didn't want him to elaborate, honestly. I didn't want to hear his version of the world because he's a profiteer and would be dancing in the streets.
Yeah, he was gleeful when he was telling you about
it. No, he was definitely pumped. It would be just like talking about if I said to you, it's like, did you hear the did you hear the Raptors are going to sign Klay Thompson? like he sounded like excitedly telling me that
his team was going to do
team was doing well. Not. Did you hear about this new virus rolling through? I don't know. How are you, Nick Thorburn?
I'm hanging in. You know, my life hasn't changed that much, which is kind of scary.
Uh-huh.
It's got me a little bit, I'm feeling kind of raw and fragile because it's made me rethink my entire life up until this point. My day-to-day schedule is pretty much the same, and yet I'm slowly panicking. And it makes me think that maybe my life was never very good.
That you were always, there was always some sort of quarantine going on.
Yeah. That's,
right?
That's kind of my fear.
Like that it was a quarantine life and you just were waiting for the virus to show up.
Exactly, to catch up.
So maybe this was just all preparation for this moment.
Yeah, it does feel like it's all happening inside my head.
That these social butterflies are all just like, I don't know how to handle this. What am I supposed to do? And you're just like, yeah, it's pretty easy, actually.
Well, I'm pretty social, but, you know, I work from home mostly, and so it hasn't changed that much.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah.
Oh, the looks we get.
There's a lot of contempt and scorn. Well, you know, when I see people, I have a window that faces onto the street, and I do a lot of just sitting in my
brag
chair.
Brag much?
It's on the second floor.
Okay.
And it's a big window. But I've noticed now people are way more observant than they used to be. Everyone's looking up at me. No one ever used to look up. But I think people are more aware of their surroundings. But I see a lot of pairs, a lot of people walking in pairs, and it makes me furious. It's really exacerbating my isolation.
When you see the people in pairs, so if you're in a pair, even if that's your little quarantine buddy,
that's what I'm figuring, is that they're shacked up.
Yeah, you'd think that it's somebody who they're just like, all right, I got it, you got it.
I kind of wish I'd made like a move on a a quarantine partner before all of this. So now I'm pretty isolated.
That actually would be a pretty, well, let's hope that there's not a whole lot of room for like new business ideas for people to like figure it. Cause that would mean this is going to go on for a long time. If it's just like, we can launch this business, but it would be a pretty, like a pretty, sweet dating thing that if you had,
that's right.
If you had it just like, you're not just going to go on dates. Can you live for 5 weeks with this person?
Right. A quarantinder. If you're positive, you meet up with other positive people.
I'm positive. I like you. Like, but it doesn't have to, like, it could just be like,
cough right.
Quarantinder is maybe, I thought you are not short of big ideas. Nick.
Who, me? Yeah. I'm a big idea guy.
I
got a lot of time.
And you're a guy who manages to, in your own subtle way, you are one of the premier hyphenates in my life. One of the people who you look and suddenly it's like, oh, he makes music. Oh, he scores things. Oh, he made a movie and he wrote and directed a movie. And then,
Short. Oh,
he published his graphic novel. And it's like, oh, that's a pretty impressive, diverse, body of work you've put together.
Well, that's kind of you to say. I mean, you know, I failed at one thing, so I pivoted and tried another thing and failed at that. Hello. How are you?
Now, what is failure, truly?
You know, when you know it so intimately, it's all you know. I don't think you can really distinguish what exactly it is. So I couldn't tell you what failure is. It's too much a part of my...
But I mean, it's like, what it does it even... It's too much. So you're just saying failure's just... The maybe failure is your little quarantine buddy. Then.
That might be. Yeah.
No, it's...
No, I'm kidding. I'm actually pretty... happy with my abilities.
Uh-huh.
It's everybody else who's failing, you know?
Sure, that they
failing me.
That they're not on the train.
Yeah.
I know. It's such a weird thing to grow up in a world where you grow up watching like there's an unrealistic version of things and a realistic version of things where it's like you grow up as a wanting to be a musician and you see like the realistic version is that there's working bands and they put records out and they find their audience and they carve out their existence and, but then there's like this unrealistic version, which is basically just like lottery winners.
Right.
Who are just like, no, I make millions upon millions of dollars off of my art every, and I play to in hockey arenas.
Sure.
And it's like, but there's only like 20 of those slots.
Yeah.
But it's like we all fall prey to the unrealistic version of things rather than realize it's like, no, well, there is a realistic version where you get to live off your art.
Right.
And your art pays the bills.
Right.
And then you get to live the life of somebody who makes things. You have to be in an office every day. But it's very easy to feel like it's always not, we're always less than somehow.
Yeah.
Like we're always somehow unsuccessful.
Right. We can see the whole field a lot clearer, obviously, everyone else's position, but. Yeah, it's true. It's good to keep that in perspective. I mean, everything's sort of topsy-turvy now, so I've actually never felt more content about my position, even though it's as precarious as it ever was. Like, I'm actually trying to make music. Well, I've made a record, a New Islands record.
Okay.
And
that's been in the works for a little bit.
About a year. Was when I had the notion to get back into it. And I've been writing a lot. I wrote a lot last year. But I have new stuff, but I just don't know if it'll ever come out in a proper way. But I'm determined for it to come out in some capacity.
Yeah, I mean, so the Island's record will be like a proper LP.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I have three records, conceptualized, and the first one is just needs to be mixed. The second one I'll start on, and then the third one is written, but none of it's been recorded yet.
Okay, so. And these are three records that would be Island's records?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They're sort of linked thematically, mm-hmm. the first two especially, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
First of all, it's exciting to hear as a fan of your music that you're back into the music again.
Thanks. Yeah.
Because you took a little bit of a pause.
Yeah, I wanted to try out some other things. I experimented with being a failed screenwriter, and that went really well. And so now I'm just coming back to music.
No, I think it. But yeah, please, I'm not going to label anything you do as failed or any of that. I don't like those words. I don't like them. They're, and I'm somebody who uses them plenty. So you don't have to talk to myself as much as I'm talking to you.
No, you've been flying high, I feel.
Well, it's just a thing. You get bounced around and you go, I don't even know if it's up and down even. It's just, you just kind of, go
pinball.
Where the action is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I've had some good work things happening lately, and I'll take it. But I just know how precarious it is also.
Yeah.
And how quickly that stuff fades. And especially now, it's just kind of like you work on stuff and you just hope that there's a world out after this. I think there will be. Some people are shockingly positive about what's on the other side.
You're one of the more optimistic people. I personally think this is the end. And this is, we kind of got to get our peace before it all crumbles.
The end. Now, what does the end mean to you?
I think it's like marauders in the street. You know, you get the gun, whether it's a potato gun or a gun that shoots pepper spray, anything that is a projectile weapon, and you sit on your porch.
Is this not how you, is it?
Well, they say this will last for the next 2 to 3 years, and I think by year three we'll enter the Mad Max stage. But prove me wrong, people.
Nick, people are going to prove you wrong. But do you take any solace in seeing the way actual humans relate to actual humans?
No. People are miserable, right? Everyone looks at me with disdain anytime I step outside, crosses the street, which I get, but it, you know, I feel like everyone is more on edge than ever. Everyone's live streaming too. It's really despicable. Like if I cannot handle one more Instagram live performance.
You mean just like an indoor?
Yeah, someone's in someone's stupid living room. I almost swore, but
it's amazing that it brings. Well, if anything, that's what's bringing. That's the great equalizer now, is that you realize for most people they just it's just going to be them and their guitar,
acoustic guitar too.
Right?
It's dreadful. Yeah.
Oh, Nick. You got to have some hope, buddy. You got to have some hope. We can. You're a healthy guy.
See, that's what I'm not sure about. I'm not sure that I'm healthy.
You're not sure if you're healthy.
Yeah, I'm definitely chipping away at my health, I think.
Okay. You mean in what sense?
In the wine that I drink every day.
Okay.
The quantity of wine.
Sure.
And the quality.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're drinking a fair amount of wine.
Yep.
You're reading a lot of news, I'm sure. You seem like you're definitely reading a lot of news.
Yeah, I'm refreshing the covidwatch.org.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. I'm actually starting to get into a productive period.
Good.
On a domestic level, I've been baking banana bread.
Okay.
Every day. I re-alphabetized my records.
Okay.
Which feels really good.
Mm-hmm.
My place is clean.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working. I've been working on music and writing and stuff and reading. Mm-hmm. And it feels very, it does feel like I can make the most out of this.
Sure. Are you staying in touch with people? Are you reaching out and talking to friends?
Yeah. There's a lot of, video conferencing happening.
Sure.
Which is nice. Mm-hmm. Seeing people that I wouldn't normally see. I think there's a silver lining to mm-hmm. all of this.
Yeah, so this thing of you saying 2 to 3 years before the Mad Max rolls in.
Well, we're only in week two,
that's
so.
That's a version of things. It's not the version.
No,
of
it's an eventuality, I think.
Okay.
I think we're still in the honeymoon period. The wave hasn't hit the shore yet.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Beach. You don't know. But I don't know either.
Right.
I don't.
I have a funny, I was listening to last week's episode.
Mm-hmm.
With Jake Fogelnest.
Yeah.
And I had an interesting story. I mean, it's maybe not interesting. It's COVID interesting. I don't think it'd be interesting in a non-COVID world. But, in 2011, I went to see Scream 4 and was sitting in the theater and I heard this laugh. So just to set it up for people that don't know, last week you talked to Jake and you were at a theater and you heard him laughing behind you.
Yes.
And you recognized the laugh and you turned around.
Yes, when Scream 3 was in theater.
Right, when Scream 3, which was in the year 2000, I believe. Mm-hmm. When I went to see Scream 4 in 2011, mm-hmm. I heard a laugh behind me in the theater. I turned around, this is not a joke, and it was David Spade. And he was laughing so loudly mm-hmm. the entire movie. And I just thought it was really funny because Jake Fogelnest played David Spade in the Grown Ups 3 live reading.
That's right.
So it seemed like a weird closing of the circle.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Scream 4.
2011, yeah.
Did I see Scream 4?
You
should.
Did
I forget Scream 4 somehow? Who was in Scream 4?
It was a return to form. Nev Campbell, Canada's own.
Okay.
I think all the...
Where in Canada was Nev Campbell from?
She's from Guelph, Ontario.
Guelph, which is about an hour from Toronto.
An hour on a, at around, maybe if you're leaving Toronto at
mm-hmm.
2 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Evan and Jordy from Islands also are from Guelph.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. A lot of musicians from Guelph, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tim from Arcade Fire.
Sure.
Lizzie from Land of Talk, Jamie who used to be in Islands and from the Unicorns.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of Guelph, and Nev Campbell.
Yeah, Guelph's got it.
Guelph's got it.
Yeah,
something in the water.
Yeah, everybody's got to support the artists now, and if you have a friend who makes things or does things, if you can throw them a few bucks to make you a thing, you do it.
Right.
And I am going to tell you this now. My friend Mary Houlihan is an artist as well as a comedian.
Yeah.
And she was saying, hey, I'll do commissions. And I was like, I want to get a commissioned piece from her. And she's like, what do you want? And I said, you know what I want, Mary? I want the country of Canada in the background. And then I want Neil Young.
Yeah.
Joni Mitchell.
Yeah.
Leonard Cohen.
Yes.
Dan Behar.
Yeah.
Damian Abraham.
Yes.
And Nick Thorburn.
Oh my God.
I said, I want the heroes of Canada.
Oh, that's so touching.
Yes.
Wow. That's amazing. Are you serious?
Yeah.
She's so good. Her paintings are amazing. She does the Joe Pera titles.
Yes, she does the title cards for Joe Pera's show. And
she's awesome. Yeah, I want to commissions, or I want to buy some of her work too.
Yeah,
it's really good.
No, she's
that's so
very impressive. So
She said she would do the first four.
Of course. I said to her, first thing I said was, I don't want hat Leonard Cohen.
Mm.
Want young Leonard Cohen?
Yeah.
Want scruffy man about town.
You want 60s Leonard Cohen?
Yeah, 60s to early mid 70s. I don't want the distinguished gentleman with the with the suit and the
William
hat.
S. Burroughs version.
Yeah, of exactly. I don't want the
dapper.
I don't want the one that sings.
So you don't mess with 80s Cohen, the future and
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I know what's strong about it. But in terms of actually going to listen to it, I prefer the first 10 years.
Yeah.
With him.
When he was on acid constantly.
Yeah. And when he sang like this, I was there in the avalanche.
His voice dropped a full octave
when he went
between
down.
The 70s and the 80s.
Yeah, he really.
Do you know that? Have we talked about the Phil Spector session when he was recording
Death
of a Ladies Man?
Yeah.
And Phil Spector, surprise, surprise, pulled a gun on him.
Uh-huh.
And as he pulled it on him, he said to Leonard, Leonard, I love you. And Leonard Cohen said, I hope so. Which is, if I ever had a gun pointed on me, could be that cool and have that much grace.
And to just ride the insanity of that moment and to know just like what I say now can either heighten this or can undercut it. So this is not a thing.
No, towed the line well, yeah.
That's pretty amazing. He's
an original one.
Well, you are cut from the same cloth.
Wow, that's too much.
My Canadian heroes.
That's going to give me 2 more weeks of quarantine before I go nuts.
Just to think of that picture.
Career. Yeah.
Yeah. Who are the other heroes who would be on that I missed?
musicians.
Alanis Morissette I could have put on there.
Morissette. You're talking music specifically,
sure,
right?
Sure, I think so. Because if it was comedy, it would be its own.
Right, should be its own
loaded
painting.
To John Candy. And
John Candy's number one for
John
sure.
John Candy would have to be number one. Then, yeah.
Rick
Dan
Moranis.
Aykroyd.
Who?
Dan Aykroyd.
Aykroyd. Right. Let's put Aykroyd on
Paul
there.
Paul Schaefer.
Maybe Schaefer could be off to the side playing a piano or something.
Mike Myers.
Mike Myers is on there.
Definitely.
I feel like just get one of John Candy. That's what I would say.
John Candy would be. He should have his own.
Yeah, he gets his own.
The kids in the hall.
Yeah, you could have all the kids, except for one.
Except for one.
You know which one.
That we won't put on the thing.
Yeah.
Which kid are we not putting on the thing?
Kidding.
Oh, he says 4 of the 5 kids.
The problematic.
Martin Short?
One. Martin Short's got to be on there.
Because I just noticed as I was saying 4 out of the 5 kids, I started to talk like Jiminy Glick for a second.
Right.
Where you go and you have the thing and it's a good thing and people like the thing and are you sure if it's a thing? I just was watching so much Jiminy Glick this last week.
Where do you watch it?
On YouTube.
Okay.
Just his celebrity interviews, and he did one thing that is one of the funniest things I've ever seen where he was interviewing Conan O'Brien and he was like pointing at him, and then as he pointed at him, he got distracted by his own finger. Like he made like he was slightly scared by it. And I was like, this guy is at the highest level of comedy to where he's always like pulling the next move. And it's just, he's a true treasure.
Yeah.
Martin Short.
That makes me want to rewatch Clifford, I think.
Yeah. Clifford. That would be a good quarantine. Maybe that's one to do. People are doing all these things where they watch something at the same time.
Oh, right. Group watching.
And how are they doing that? Just saying like, hey, it's on Netflix. Let's all.
I think there's an extension on Chrome or something, but then are you just going to chat through the movie? That seems somehow more lonely to watch a movie at the same time, but not speak to each other.
Yeah.
Why would you speak to someone?
No, there's something slightly frustrating about the whole experience.
Yeah. Well, I guess the entire thing is frustrating, but.
What are some pleasant surprises that have come out of this for you? Like, when you sorted your, let's just say, so for example, when you were re-alphabetizing your records, were there any gems that you forgot you owned?
So many that I just, it was too much of a nightmare, the shelf that I had forgotten about.
Mm-hmm.
So many of the records. And then I started putting on records. I found all these Neil Young records too.
Uh-huh.
And I started to put them on, and then my record player broke.
Oh, no.
So it's the universe wants to punish me.
What broke on it?
It's skating. I got to recalibrate the tone arm because it's – I can't okay. – when I put the needle down, the stylus on the record, it slides. And I was YouTube tutorialing this morning, but it's not working.
Mm.
So that's the story of my life.
Well, we can figure something out with that.
Yeah, in 2 to 3 years, maybe you could come by and help me out.
We can figure it out. You lower your turntable out the window. You get some handyman to come over, or woman. Ladies can fix turntables now also. I don't know if you heard.
It's true.
It's a different world, and I'm sick.
Yeah, I could task rabbit that.
You could, and there'd be get somebody in a hazmat suit to come in and be like, did you put a quarter on the...
Right.
Can you put a quarter on it? It's too small of a.
Right.
Right? That wouldn't do it? No?
Yeah, maybe. I guess I could add the weight, but you don't want to add too much pressure to the stylus because you'll wreck the grooves on the record.
Yes, exactly. But there's got to be some sort of... Well, I hope you sort this out. So.
Me too.
So, yeah, what are other surprises that you've...
I'm really good at baking banana bread.
Okay.
Like, it phenomenally good, mm-hmm. as you'll see.
Yeah. You have a bee right there. Watch out.
So that's about it.
Banana bread. You got good at making banana bread, or you realized you were good at it.
I'd never done it before.
Okay.
But
that's exciting.
I mean, you're really just following an ingredient, but I scooped 2 big scoops of raspberry jam into the batter, it's phenomenal.
That's great.
Yeah, that was just, I just improvised that.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good. Yeah, maybe try it now.
Okay. Hold on. You see?
And I gave you a corner section, so.
Quarantined.
Because I know, a quarantine corner.
Yeah, that's really good.
It's good, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's moist, and I only sneezed twice while making it.
Okay, great.
So.
Great. No, that's really good. You know what you're doing.
Well, you know, it's a lot of love. It's 99% ingredients, mm-hmm. or love, and then 1% following the ingredients. So,
sure. I would hope. I think it might be maybe bump that 1% up a little bit, the following the ingredients percentage. Maybe find a 50-50 split on that with that love and... obeying the recipe. So you had some shows planned, right? And those are...
I had one show planned on April 1st, which was kind of going to be like a secret unveiling of a new project that I am starting with another person. It's separate from Islands,
mm-hmm.
and it's very exciting to me. We've recorded half of the album, and it's unlike anything I've ever done, and it's unlike anything the other person's ever done too, but sadly, yeah, it was canceled, so it'll just have to wait.
Sure.
I guess.
So there's a secret out there.
Yeah. He lives in, my friend of mine, he lives in upstate New York in the Catskills.
Okay.
And so I gotta, when it's safe to do so, I gotta go back mm-hmm. there and we'll record. We have another 6 songs that we need to finish.
It's exciting. And this friend of yours in upstate New York is named Bob Dylan.
His name is Levon Helm.
Levon Helm. Oh, I have some bad news for you.
Oh, no.
I don't know
how
to break this to you.
Is he a ghost?
He died 5 years ago.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I think there was more than one surprise related to this project.
Right. A couple of surprises. You know this fact, but you know that Woodstock, I know you know because you know music trivia
sure.
in and out. And this is probably an obvious one, but that they made Woodstock, they picked that location to convince Bob Dylan to do it.
Yeah.
And then he was like, yeah, I'm going to get on a boat to Europe.
He immediately ran away from these people that were ruining this little secret spot he found.
Yeah.
It's like upstate New York. He's loving it. And then suddenly it's just like everybody has to come. They show up. Then all the hippies looking for answers. They didn't find any answers.
No.
No.
Looked fun, though.
You know what? I got a good feeling about what's going to happen to you this year.
You do?
I do.
This year?
This year.
The last year of our lives?
No, this is not the last year. You're one of the survivors of this, Nick Thorburn.
That's very sweet of you to say.
I mean, look, the odds are I eat it on this. But I just want you to carry the torch.
Right.
Keep it going. Look, okay. Look at that hummingbird right there. That hummingbird has hope.
Right? That hummingbird has no idea what's going on.
And that's... And the hummingbird's still going.
Yeah. Hummingbird does what a hummingbird...
Hummingbird does what a hummingbird does. The NBA season's kind of a weird deal, huh?
That's when I remember that for, I think, a long time. That'll be my moment of when it shifted. I was walking down the street in Atwater Village and walking past a bar, and it just said NBA season suspended, and I just, that's when it all pulled into focus and became very real.
Because then you were just like, oh, there's hundreds of millions of dollars that they've just said we're not doing this for money. Yeah. Something's bigger than money right now. It's really impressive with that. Like that was like not impressive that they did that, but it was the scope of that declaration was stunning.
The NBA is the wokest league for sure.
Oh yeah.
They've proven that time and again. And Toronto gets another year at the top.
Of being champs.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is, it's a pretty,
it's a bitter pill.
Yeah. They will be
undisputed.
The undisputed champions. They might, in your bleak version of the future, they are the final NBA champion.
Yes. The last team to win
before the NBA folded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, you're just kind of like they took the ball and went home.
Yes.
And then they are the, it's like a dad just refusing to let the child beat him.
Right.
And being like, I'm always the champ. And then finally the kid gets better and it's like, rematch now. It's right. Like, no, I can't do it anymore.
I got to go home. Yeah.
Yeah. Or just like my knee is not great. So I'm the champ forever.
Yeah.
Well, Nick, I notice, even though you were putting down, you were saying acoustic guitars were bad news on Instagram Live.
Yes.
But I notice you have one here outside.
I do. Well, it is the future, and if you can't beat 'em, join 'em. That's what I like to say. So I did bring an acoustic guitar.
Okay.
I could play a couple songs from the third record, the third Islands record.
Okay. This is the third of these three you're talking about?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I don't even know when this first record will be out. Mm-hmm. Hopefully by the end of the year, if things go well. I still need to find a label and all of that. I'm sort of, I took a break in 2016 and so I've kind of coming back to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm rebuilding and everything. So I need to find a label. And I'm slowly sifting through that, but I do have, this third record, a collection of songs earmarked for the third record, which is kind of different, from this first one.
Okay.
They're more like just kind of simple sort of campfire.
Well, that's cool.
Songs.
So some songs are more, so the record that's in the can that has to still be mixed.
That's a disco record.
That's a disco record.
Straight up and down, yeah.
Seriously?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, it's a lot of congas and bongos and it's, I mean, it's not your like traditional disco, but it's my version of a disco record.
Sure.
So every song is, well, not every song, but it's got that kind of, it's groove first.
So it'd be it's like a more of the Saturday night record. If you have all three, say this is, all three have come out.
Yes.
We averted the crisis that you are, that you wanted.
Yes.
Didn't happen.
Yep.
You failed again. Your version of
right.
the world ended.
I can't even predict.
The world won't even end for you when you want it to end. So the three records come out. Record one. Is there
record
a title
one.
For it yet?
Yes, there is. It's called Isla Mania.
Isla Mania. That's great.
Which is the love of islands.
Yes.
So it's very much a celebration. It's very much a Saturday night record.
Okay.
It's the cocaine record.
Sure. The second record would be the what record?
The come down record. The so come that'd down. Be the Sunday morning. Things are not good.
Sure. The Alka-Seltzer.
It's the Alka-Seltzer record.
The ice
record.
Pack.
Yes. The ice pack on the forehead.
Yes.
And then the third record is kind of the wild card. So if the first one is up, the second one is down.
Okay.
The third one is kind of side to side. It's the chaos. It's kind of the Joker-fied record. It's everything's dark, but there's a humor in the,
okay.
The bleakness.
Sure. So it's kind of like, it's like The Graduate where they're on the bus and they're like saying.
Yeah.
What's next?
Yeah, and it's death is what's next.
Okay.
And a nosebleed.
Or just a new.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of Midnight Cowboys. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yes. They're not slapping the hood of the car.
Right.
And I'm walking here.
Which was ad-libbed by Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah.
You know that. I can't get anything
good.
By
can't, you can't slip your Dustin Hoffman trivia by me.
He's doing good, right?
Me. Dusty? You can't get your Dusty. Dusty 101. You're going to fail. You try to stump me. There is probably somebody who actually identifies as a Dustin Hoffman mega fan who's just like,
right.
Honestly, is just like, no one can stump me with Dustin Hoffman trivia.
That's a lonely club.
Be a
That's
pretty
a lonely,
lonely
club.
Club. Yeah.
I ate a turkey that Dustin Hoffman sent at one point.
Okay.
That's a story for another time, I guess, but.
Well, no, it's not. It's a story for, why would that be for another time? I need
for
to
your
know
Dustin
right
Hoffman
now.
Theme.
How does he just, does he just send turkeys?
When I first moved to LA in 2012, I knew, I didn't have very many close relationships, but someone I was friends with was a friend of the show, John Daly.
Sure.
And he invited me to a Thanksgiving dinner.
Okay.
With a former assistant of Dustin Hoffman, mm-hmm. who I guess every year in perpetuity will send a turkey out to anyone who's ever worked for Dustin Hoffman.
Really?
So I think it's hundreds and hundreds of turkeys.
So he's sending these turkeys out. Yeah. Wow.
He's sending out turkeys. And so we were the recipient of this turkey. Now I don't eat turkey myself, but I still, you know.
Sure.
Got to get a whiff of it.
It's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
This is a turkey from...
Touched by Hoffman.
Touched by Dustin Hoffman. Well, that's a pretty...
It's rare air.
That is pretty rare air. Yeah. That is... Not many people can lay claim to having eaten a turkey.
Yeah.
Is this guy just turning around? He's just turning around.
Do you want me to sing you
some
songs?
That'd be great. I'd love it. These are from the confusing third record of the trilogy.
And the one of the songs, how many do you want me to do?
You do whatever you want to do.
I could do three.
Let's do three.
One, I could do one that's inspired by you.
Okay.
You've heard this one. It references you.
Yeah.
And we were hanging out one night and you laid a quote on me that I thought was so delicious. I turned it into a song lyric.
That's awesome. That's the Harry Cruz quote.
Right.
Yes. The author Harry Cruz.
Who said
that they don't want you to, it was some version of like, you gotta just do, they don't want you to like write. Like they want you to just go to the zoo every day.
Right.
And just feed peanuts to the animals.
Right.
I forget what it was. They want you to do it
seven
days
gist.
A week.
That's the gist.
I'm not getting it right, but it is just a quote that I thought of has definitely resonated. The thought of which has the meaning behind it has resonated.
Yeah, it rang my bell for sure. And so it's indebted to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's sweet.
That's the least campfire-y of them all, but okay. I will give it a shot. In honor of you. And played live at all.
Okay.
So we'll just go for it.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
question, but I'm afraid to ask it. Do, 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 do. I got a question, but I'm afraid to ask it. Are there snakes in the basket? I can dance, but I'm not a dancer. Oh, oh, oh. I asked that question, oh, but please, baby, don't answer. I'm calling you, baby, so you can understand. I built up the nerve so I can be your man. All I wanna know, but I'm afraid to ask it, are there snakes in the basket? I can dance, but I'm not a dancer. Oh, oh, oh. I asked that question, oh, but please, baby, don't answer.
This will be the guitar solo.
Too maligned. I hope that I won't be born time. Arachnophobia. I feel like I'm stuck in a casket. Oh, oh, oh. No, until I know, but I can't ask it. No, no, no. If there are any snakes fucking basket.
Oh, that was great.
I messed up the end, but
no, I love it. That was awesome.
Thank you. That'll be played with an electric guitar on the final
okay
version. Just yeah, FYI.
Sure.
All right, you want another?
Yes, please.
Okay.
What's this one?
This one, the name, I think maybe you've heard this one before. I've played it. I played it at Jason Walliner's a benefit last year.
Oh,
I
yeah. That's right.
It's about David Geffen. Well, that's it's right. About late stage capitalism.
But the painting. The painting.
Yes.
Yes. I know. I love this song.
It's called David Geffen's Jackson Pollock.
I found David Geffen. Jackson Pollock. It fell off a truck near the beach. At least that's where I got it. Tried to move it for a record, 200 million dollars. But these jackals, these vampires, they offered me something much smaller. Abstract impressionist work, but whatever you call it, It was David Geffen's Jackson Pollock. When I showed up, lifted my coat up to reveal the painting, pig suddenly rolled up, afraid that this might happen. Pulled out a box cutter, their faces slackened as it pushed against the canvas. I knelt down and I climbed right in what might have been the world's slowest getaway. But I still had David Geffen's Jackson Pollock. I still had David Geffen's Jackson Pollock. And I still had David Geffen's Jackson
I love that song. I've heard you do that song a couple times.
You have.
There was also a Nithia show.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Nithia in concert.
Right.
What was that?
Nithia Raman, yeah, running. She's in a runoff for district council of this neighborhood.
Yeah.
City council.
And she's making it very, she's being very, very, it's like she's rising to the challenge now in the face of this stuff.
Yeah.
Like some people shrink. And vanish. She is not.
No, she's not. And I mean, it's a perfect storm of everything she's been, you know, I know you don't want to get political, but anyway, it's a good time to, the writing is on the wall, so.
Yes. The world needs heroes. And the world needs people who, to do the work.
Yeah.
And she's one of the people doing the work.
And not all heroes wear capes, Tom.
No, that's true. But they do wear masks.
They do. Bane-like masks.
Bane-like masks. And you know what I'm going to say to you? Thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
It's always a pleasure. And you know I love you, and you're going to be great.
I love you, too.
All right, buddy. Thanks so much.
Okay. Drive safe.
Well, that was a fun show, and I appreciate everybody listening. And thanks to Nick Thorburn and Philly Boy Roy and everybody for being a part of it. And just remember, you follow the Best Show 4, number 4 Life. Patreon is patreon.com/thebestshow. That's how you support the show. We don't take ads. That's how you support the show. So do that. Thanks, everybody. Best Show will be back. We're not going anywhere. And we're going somewhere at the same time. How about that?